one of the high holy days in the life of Old South. Many of you remember the year of which we do not speak when we tried to bring Bell Sunday to a close, and you can see how well that worked. The tradition lives on forever. This is a long-held, much-loved tradition in our church. And since many of you look forward to this day, and you have declared that somehow maybe Jesus won't be born if we don't have Bell Sunday, I thought I would give you a chance to ring your bells again. Now, we haven't done this kind of Christmas check-in, I looked back in my sermon, since 2019. So, we're going to see how well you all are doing with your Christmas preparations. So, ring your bell if you have put up your Christmas tree. Okay? All right, now we're going to get into a little bit of a debate to see who prefers white lights on their tree and who prefers multicolored lights. So, who has white lights on their tree? How about multicolored lights? Okay. Who has those cool trees where you can like go back and forth so you get the best of both worlds? Yeah. All right, ring your bell if you have lights up outside your house. Okay. How about ring your bell if you went to the Christmas gifts auction last night? Yeah. Ring your bell if you bought something at the Christmas gifts auction last night. All right. And now ring your bell if this is your very first Bell Sunday at Old South. Yay! Oh, this tradition carries on. And then ring your bell if you cannot imagine Advent without Bell Sunday. All right, now you can put your bells away until the closing hymn. So decorating the tree, putting up the lights, baking the cookies, sending the cards, wrapping the gifts. Sometimes it feels like our Christmas to-do list will never end. Although we got to hear that many of you are well on your way with your to-do list. We put so much pressure on ourselves to make sure we do all the things that we are supposed to do so that Christmas will be perfect. But what we see in today's scripture reading is that Jesus didn't enter this world because things were perfect. Thank goodness for that. He wasn't born because everything was in its proper place and everyone was totally ready. We forget how complicated, how scandalous Jesus' birth really was. No one was expecting the Messiah to be born to a young woman who wasn't even married yet. And certainly Joseph wasn't expecting that the young woman giving birth to the Messiah would be the very same young woman he was supposed to marry. All he knew was that his soon-to-be wife was pregnant, and not by him. So what was Joseph supposed to do? As we read the story in Matthew, of course we knew, Scripture tells us, that Mary is pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. But Joseph didn't know that, not yet. What Joseph did know was that Mary's pregnancy was a complete violation of the religious and social norms of the time. Unmarried women were not supposed to be pregnant. So Joseph decided to divorce Mary, which was the more humane of the legal options that were available to him. He could have had Mary stoned to death. But Matthew tells us that Joseph was a righteous man, so he decided to divorce Mary quietly and spare her any more shame. But then an angel of the Lord came to Joseph in a dream, and the angel reassured him that God could be at work in the midst of a situation that was way less than perfect. God didn't need everything to be done properly. God didn't need everyone to be totally ready. God was going to show up in the world in a totally scandalous and wondrous way. God was going to be born into the world through Mary. And Joseph could be part of all the wonder that would come along with that scandalous birth if he decided to stay. When Joseph awoke from the dream, he had a choice to make. And he chose to go against all the religious and social norms of his day in order to remain faithful to Mary and faithful to God. Through the angel of the Lord, God gave Joseph a glimpse of God's vision for the world. And then God asked Joseph to be a part of that vision, to help make that vision become a reality. I think that's what the Advent season is about, too. Advent is this whole season where God reminds us of what is possible in this world if only we will trust that God can work in ways we can't even imagine. And it's a good thing. God can work in the midst of situations that are less than perfect, because our lives are so often way less than perfect. And this world is way, way less than perfect. But throughout the Advent season, we get these glimpses of the kind of vision God has for the world, a world where hope and peace and joy and love are not just sentimental platitudes, but the true and full realities of our lives. We get these glimpses during Advent of how light shines in the shadows and how God works in the messiness and how God shows up in unexpected and wondrously scandalous ways. We get these glimpses. And then God asks us to be a part of that vision. God asks us to help make that vision become a reality. I was listening to a podcast this week called The Splendid Table. It's a podcast about recipes and food, as you all know, that is very on brand for me. And the podcast features both professional restaurant chefs as well as regular home cooks. In a recent episode, the host, Francis Lamb, had a conversation with a man named Will Godera. Will is part of the group that owns a restaurant called 11 Madison Park. It's a very fancy restaurant in New York City that at one point held the top spot on the list of the 50 best restaurants in the world. So, of course, there is no doubt that that restaurant must have delicious food. But what they're also known for is what Will calls unreasonable hospitality. They're known for the attentive service they offer to their guests, and they are so serious about this commitment to hospitality that they have someone on staff who's called the Dream Weaver. That person's job is to pay attention to what guests share during the course of their meal in order to see if there is some way that the restaurant can go out of their way, go above and beyond to provide personalized service. So for example, if a guest mentions that he might have had a little too much to drink during dinner, the Dream Weaver will hand them a hangover kit on their way out to the door. One time when a guest mentioned that his father was more of a Budweiser steak and potatoes kind of guy rather than a champagne and foie gras kind of guy, the Dream Weaver went out and bought enough beer to transform their champagne cart into a Budweiser cart and wheeled it right over to the table. When one guest mentioned that the only regret he had from his trip to New York was that he hadn't gotten to eat a true New York City hot dog, the Dream Weaver went out, found a street vendor, bought a hot dog, and brought it back. When asked about how difficult it is to offer this kind of hospitality, Will said, "All it requires is that you're present enough to your guests that you stop thinking about everything else you need to do. You have to slow down enough in order to actually pay attention to the things people are saying. It sounds like the dream weaver's job is to listen for glimpses of what the diners are dreaming about, and then do something to help make those dreams become reality. Now, we are certainly not dream weavers working at a fancy New York City restaurant, but I wonder if God might be calling us to be dream weavers in the work of the kingdom. I wonder if God is calling us to stop worrying about all the other things we need to do so that we can be fully present to the people around us. Maybe God is calling us to pay attention to the things we see and hear and experience so that we don't miss all the little glimpses that He is giving us of His dreams for this world. We need to remember that God so often doesn't show up in the ways that we are expecting. So we have to pay attention. Joseph certainly knew that to be true. And so, friends, if we are attentive enough to notice, if we are bold enough then to choose to act and faithful enough to follow our God, we will get to be part of God's wondrously scandalous work in the world, the work of making hope and peace and joy and love so very real, the work of making this world new, this Advent season, and all through the year to come. So friends, let us dream the dreams that God has for us. And then let us have the courage, like Joseph, to help make those dreams become reality.